This is an oral history interview with Ivan McAleese, and thank you very much for giving us your time, Ivan. So the first question I'd like to ask you is, how important was music in your house when you were growing up?
I was always singing in our house wherever I was at school growing up. My father would play the fiddle when he got a couple of Guinness in him. He always took the fiddle out. There was always singing and always somebody, and you know, there was always music going on. If there was killing any time anybody would come in, you know, usually a singing song would have started.
I was just about to ask you that then. So in the past, a kind of house where there was socialising going on, I suppose, in the pre-television age was called a Caelian house.
Pre-television, aye.
So, you know, you're saying yours was a Caelian house. What sort of music was played, or what sort of instruments were played at a Caelian house?
Well, I said my dad would have played, the fiddle would have been the most, or an accordion.
Mm-hmm.
Although there never was an accordion in our house, but the fiddle would have been the most popular, along with the accordion, for that type of thing. You know, it was usually old traditional stuff. You know, my mother's love was a blessing, a Noreen Ball, and, you know, all that sort of stuff, you know.
So who was it that first encouraged you to pick up an instrument then, Ivan?
I think watching the likes of Gene Autry and Roy Rogers in the films. Because they had a guitar and they played singing, you see, so I was cowboy mad whenever I was a wee. I still like westerns. I still like watching old westerns there, you know, to watch them all the time. But I said, but put the idea in my head that I fancied it, you know what I mean? Like, I fancied if I could, I was fit to play the guitar, I would be a cowboy, you know what I mean? Like, this one was very, very young.
So, talking about the films then and the influence of that, your decision to pick up an instrument, would you have gone to the cinema in those early days, or would you have seen it on the television?
Well, I had no television. I'm talking about the school days.
Ah, right. Uh-huh.
School days. I went to the picture house, we called it then.
Mm-hmm.
The picture house, yes. And when I saw it there, and we lived just about a mile out of the town, and we used to go into a cafe every so often. They had one of the few people, they had a wee television in the corner, a wee black and white television, and they allowed us in there after school to watch the Lone Ranger. That was the highlight of our day, watching the Lone Ranger, you know. But that's how it all started, watching all the old cowboy films. Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, and Hoplon Cassidy, all them boys. You wouldn't remember them at all or know nothing about them, really.
I've heard of some of them, but I have to say, you're quite right. I'm not very familiar with them. What I am familiar with, though, is probably the later period, whenever you had the likes of Elvis and Cliff Richard making movies. So would you have seen those early kind of pop or sort of rock and roll American movies?
Oh, I have enjoyed the American rock and roll on Elvis, aye. Oh, definitely. Bill Haley and the Comets. I would enjoy that there, certainly, aye. Funny enough, more so than the English rock and roll, although there's good English groups, no doubt about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I would swayed towards the American versions.
Well, there you are. So you're talking a lot there about your father and the fiddle and the Caelian. Were there any of your siblings who were musically minded, or maybe your mother, did she play music?
She never played, no. No, my brothers would have done a bit of singing. They could all have sung, you know. And my mother she could have sung, but I never heard her sing.
Mm-hmm.
A full song, if you know what I mean. Like, but my brothers all, four brothers, they could all sing, you know.
So could you tell me a little bit about going to school? Can you remember any of the teachers or pupils? Where did you actually go to school, Ivan?
Oh, going to school, we had to walk to school. was maybe could have been a mile and a half, maybe 2 miles nearly to where we lived, where our school was from our house. Had to walk all the time. And the teachers, we lived just on the side of the road, the main road, from Tilray to the school. The teachers, they rode bicycles to the school. Bicycle, all bicycles there.
No cars at all.
Very, very, very few cars. When we came home from school, we'd got a jotter and a pencil, and we'd have sat out in the ditch to take the number plates of cars went past. I knew you could have sat for half an hour before a car would appear. No traffic at all.
So growing up, what did your mother and father do then? Did you come from you came from a very rural background, did you say?
Just a rural background, aye. Mother was just my dad worked for the council, and my mother was just a housewife. It was all so just an ordinary common 5'8" father of a family.
And whenever you were going to school, what sort of sports would you have played?
A wee bit of soccer and Gaelic. We hadn't much of a playground really to play all at school, you know. And when I came home from school, when we were at the school holidays, we would have had different other neighbouring families, the youngsters that went to school with us. They've all gathered at our place, and we had a fair size of a garden that wasn't used for anything. And we would have put cricket stumps there and goalposts up, the tennis thing with Bob on, and we had a form of Olympics on. We had a wee game of soccer and a wee game of Gaelic. We had a high jump and a long jump, played tennis and done all them things, you know. It was the summer holidays.
Sounds idyllic, you know, but I suppose a lot of us are nostalgic for our childhoods. So going back to school then, obviously you were saying that the guitar very much was something you wanted to pick up because of what you saw in the films and the media. Whenever you went to school, was there any kind of musical education, or were you encouraged to play an instrument there?
We weren't encouraged to play an instrument, no. Our teacher, we did sing in the school, he had picked a song. Again, it was old Irish songs.
Yes.
He had picked a song, and he wrote the words all out in the blackboard. And then he had us all singing it, you know.
And what sort of traditional songs would have been encouraged in the school? Can you remember any of them?
I can only remember one, The Meeting of the Waters by Thomas Moore. Thomas Moore, as you know, is way back in the 200 odd years ago. He wrote a wee lot of Irish melodies, and some were, majority was all just in prose work, but some were, a few of them were put to songs, and The Meeting of the Waters was one. And The Meeting of the Waters was down in the outside of Boca and Kerry. That's where The Meeting of the Waters is. Where these two small rivers meet each other, and there's a big, not a plaque so much as a monument sort of thing to Thomas Moore. This is where he wrote the song, The Meeting of the Waters.
Well, you're talking a lot about the picture house there, so that had been the picture house in Kilray. And I suppose that's long gone now. And what kind of memories do you have?
No, I think their house is still standing. It was tin hut just. Tin.
And what was the atmosphere like in the old picture house? You know what? Oh,
brilliant. Brilliant. It was brilliant. You paid your way at the door and you just old forms to sit on, you know. And the cheap seats, and in the back there was cushion seats, and they were dear. which of course we couldn't afford as children. But Achnall was a great crack, you know. Now there was always someone walking about with a torch.
Make sure you weren't misbehaving.
Hearing any noise, you got the torch was shone on you there.
So back then, Ivan, there have been lots of different types of movie, rather than now, whenever you go to see one movie, there have been like a newsreel and a small feature and maybe a B movie and so
on. It was the same then. There was a newsreel. There was a newsreel and there's a small feature. A big lot of them all were cartoons. And then the main film then would have come on.
And what was the wee cafe that you went to? Remember you were saying there was a wee cafe in the edge of the town?
Wee cafe. Are you familiar with an ice cream company here, Mullins Ice Cream?
I certainly am. Uh-huh.
That was them. They owned the cafe in the town. They originated in Chiray.
Oh, right.
So they did.
Didn't know that.
And they had a cafe and they sold ice cream and cigarettes and that type of stuff, you know, just small, but you could have had, your tea and sandwiches or whatever of it, you know.
That was this wee TV in the corner.
And this wee black and white television in the corner, which attracted a lot of young ones.
So whenever you were growing up, other than, I suppose, the films, what sort of musical acts influenced you whenever you started to learn the guitar?
When I started to learn the guitar, I'd listen to country western records. Buck Owens and the Buckaroos. Remember, the first record I bought was them. I don't even remember the name of the song, but I remember it was them anyway. I thought they were a brilliant group. You know, they were over here in Belfast one time, and I wanted to see them. Them and Brian Cole was on that show as well, and an old cowboy turned singer Tex Ritter. He was on it as well, and a couple or three other American acts.
So would that have been the late 1950s, Ivan, would it?
No, that was the late 60s.
Oh, the late 60s.
That would have been the late 60s, yep.
And what was the atmosphere like whenever you went and seen those early bands as an audience member? I know you performed. What was it like to go as an audience member?
It was... That was strange compared to now. There was no drink involved. There was a little stall at the back of the hall in some places where there's no manners. You just got manners. And whenever you're at the dance hall, the men were all lined up one side and the women were all lined up the other. So if you fancied a girl and wanted to go and dance, you had to walk across a big empty floor. So whoever had the guts to start the ball rolling, so to speak. And the floor would have been full of no time at all. There were people up dancing. They were, and the bands done a mixture of everything. They weren't restricted to, you know, all country, all pop, and they could have, they were a cocktail of stuff, you know.
And I was also wondering, can you remember the introduction of the jukebox as well?
Be sure that same cafe. Where we watched the Lone Ranger. We used to go in there to the jukebox there.
And how did you manage to scrape together your income to put your...
Well, very rarely managed to save up the money for the jukebox.
So what sort of early records would have been in that jukebox?
Oh, gee. Would have been Elvis, the late of Elvis, Cliff Richard, Tommy Steele, and then you could have had Bing Crosby, you could have had American country artists, the early ones, you know, going way back. Majority of them were all dead, you know, so there.
But I was also going to ask a little bit about the venues that the Irish show bands played. So you talked about the sort of parochial halls and the very stilted atmosphere.
Parochial halls, Procter Halls and marquees.
Mm.
And the marquees were deadly because you couldn't get a good sound in them with canvas roof and canvas walls, you know, and was deadly. And no toilet facilities. You're freezing when you started to play till you get warmed up.
Mm-hmm. And terrible. Like the halls, the venues where you had jukeboxes, the little ice cream parlours and things, was there a space for you to go and dance whenever you were listening to the record?
No.
Not really?
Not with the jukeboxes, no.
But certainly in the halls, there would have been a place to dance.
No, well, there wouldn't have been any jukebox in the hall.
Aye, but...
You know. The halls were all big.
Well, I was going to talk us through some old records. So at the Tidal Tomb Archive, we've collected some old records from the past. And there's lots of different stuff from show bands to crooners and so on. So even if you want to maybe talk us through some of the records and maybe your memories of the bands involved, if you have any, you know. It's these wee singles here. So even maybe if I go through them here, you can... So Penny and the Skyrockets.
I've never heard them. I heard all of them already, but I've never...
And funny, they're playing that song, Noreen Bawn.
Aye.
So what was... again, for someone who's unfamiliar, Ivan, I know your generation might be, but Noreen Bawn, was it a ballad or...?
It was an old Irish ballad, an immigrant song, about a girl leaving her mother to go to America. Times didn't turn out too good for her. When she came back home, she was sick and she died. And that was more or less the story of Noreen Bawn.
And we move on into a band called the Green Angels. And once again, they're talking about immigration. Their song here is called An Exile's Dream.
I don't remember it. I remember the Green Angels. The leader of that was a fella from... He ran the Loy direction, I think, was Jerry McLean, I think was his name.
Mm.
The Green Angels.
Did you ever perform with them or?
No. I didn't perform. I was at a concert one night where they were playing after we were finished.
Oh.
We were just a soloist, you know.
Ah.
And the Marion Hall and Curie, I remember. After we were finished, and then come on to play for the dance there.
So was the Marion Hall, was it a parochial hall, was it?
Aye.
And what kind of size, how many people could you get in? Or?
Oh, it's a big hall. It could have got a good crowd, I don't know why. Oh, they used to have dances in there every week. I can't remember what night of the week. Was it Friday night, was it, they had them? And then they used it as cinema as well. They got projectors and they showed films three times a week, memory serves me right.
And it seems from your description there that several bands might have performed on one bill. You know, so were there multiple bands performing on the same night in these halls?
Well, they'd have had maybe more or less a group on before the main band. The one when there would have been the majority of two.
Mm-hmm.
The group, they'd come on maybe at 9 o'clock. They'd have played maybe till 11. And then the main band would come on at 11. And then they'd play till 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Because obviously we'll talk about this in a moment, you know, about your experiences in the show bands. You must have had to have had a really rigid and reliable set to lean back on, because if you were traveling to place to place, you know, you maybe didn't have the time to experiment with it, and you needed something that was popular with everyone. So what sort of songs were sure to be in the set as crowd pleasers?
Well, just when everybody else would have done what was a few of them that was popular at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I fell back on old numbers, you know, that maybe old numbers that maybe were popular
in the past
10, 20 years, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so then sometimes you played to the crowd. If the majority was a young crowd, you tried to play as much poppy stuff as possible, you know. Mm-hmm. If there's a mixed crowd, then you play the mixed. You try to, anyway.
And what was the song, if you were having a bad experience or if the audience weren't too responsive, was there a song that was sure to get everybody going or one that you could fall back on?
Well, going away back years ago, I saw the light of one of the Clancy brothers there, the Bold of Donald Hugh, you know, or The Holy Ground.
That's a good one. I know that song.
You know, people would go clapping and dancing with that there, or living them up, you know.
That's one to stomp your feet to, isn't it?
Aye, it could die, aye. So then there's others, you know, the whole audience were, you know, nothing would have pleased them, you know. And they were the worst nights, the longest nights of the whole lot.
Especially if you're on 2 or 3 years.
Especially if you're on 2 or 3 years, aye.
Well, the next record we have here is Tommy Drennan and the Monarchs, and one of their traditional songs on this single is Bull of Vogue. Now, that's a very standard.
That's Father Murphy there, Father Murphy. I would, that concerns the rising of 1690 or something, you know. Way early, the early days. Father Murphy, Bull of Vogue was about that.
We've then got a band that we discussed a little beforehand that you actually have memories of playing with, and they were called the Alexander Brothers, and their song was called Blackboard of My Heart.
That's an old country song way back donkeys years ago. Mm-hmm. We played with them in the town hall in Cookstown.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, there were Scottish acts brought over. Again, they played one night, and there was a Scottish folk singer called Andy Stewart, who was very, very popular at the time. And he was on. So he was, you know. And then they played the Alexander Brothers again in the town hall in Ballymena.
And was your band there to back the brothers and give them a bit of music to sing to, or were you
not to the Alexander Brothers, because one of them played the piano. They accompanied themselves. So that Andy Stewart, now we had to accompany him. He was just a soloist.
And did you enjoy accompanying other acts?
Aye, we did, surely.
Well, the next one we have here is the Dubliners' Paddy on the Railway, which is sung by Luke Kelly, who I know is very iconic in the Irish folk tradition, and I know you would be an admirer of his.
We played a concert one night in Ballaghy, and Luke Kelly was on it. And I can remember Luke Kelly as well. I was standing behind him on the stage, and he was standing there singing, and the half bottle of whiskey was sticking out of the hip pocket of his jeans.
Mad drinkers, weren't they?
Of course, he was a character. He was a brilliant singer. He was a character. So he was.